All right. Good morning. So, have you noticed the days are getting longer? Sun is lasting a little bit longer. It's even starting earlier. And you couldn't prove it by this morning, but in general, the middays are definitely starting to get warmer. Spring is coming. That's great. This week at Link Group, John Martin's in our group, and he let us know that he saw daffodils blooming this week. So it is happening. New life is beginning to peek through that darkness as winter fades and the light of Easter continues to arrive. So it's not an accident that this is the time of year that we look forward to celebrating Jesus' resurrection and the new life that he offers us. Right now, we're in that waiting period in between the already and the not yet. There are some ways that we're able to experience the reality of Jesus' resurrection in our current lives. As we begin to allow ourselves to follow Jesus, to trust him as the Son of both God and man, who lived and died and rose again, God's Spirit makes his home within our hearts, and we become more and more rooted in God's love. And as wonderful as all of this is, there's still more to come. There's a time coming when we will see God face to face, and we will be glad. Scripture says that we will know him fully just as we have been fully known by him. And this season of Lent, this time leading to Easter, is a reminder of our waiting for what is still to come. There are three practices that are traditionally a part of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And whether or not we call this time Lent, this is the time in general that the church sets aside to get ready for Easter. And so this morning we're going to do that through prayer. When we pray, we are placing our attention on God. The way that I tend to do this is I just start by telling God who he is. Like literally, God, you are Father, you are Savior, you are Lord. And maybe that seems weird to you. Like, why would I tell God who he is? Surely he knows who he is. And that's true. But it feels good to be noticed for who we are. And as we notice who each other are, we draw closer together. In our last leadership meeting, we took some time to go through this prayer experience, and Clay directed everyone to pray for me, which was a surprise, but it was really interesting. He had people just take some time to think and consider who they know me to be, and then afterwards they shared that, and it was really interesting that the words that they used to describe me really did reveal my core values. Like, it wasn't things like nice or, you know, it was like childlike or you see people as the same, you know, things like that. And that kind of attention that comes from really focusing on somebody and considering who they are at their core, that's the kind of attention that God gives us all the time. He knows who we are. He knows who he made us to be. Scripture tells us that he numbers all the hairs on our head, that he knits us together in our mother's womb, and that he loves us with an everlasting love. He knows us, he sees our worth, and he loves us. So when I spend time telling God who he is, I am remembering who God has shown himself to be in my life, in your lives, and in the lives of all who've come before us. As God has revealed himself in the scriptures, I can draw on those names of God that I see in the scriptures, on the actions that I see God taking in the scriptures. And when I call out to God who I know him to be, I remind myself who he is, and I draw closer to him. So this is one way that I begin to love God. So for the next 5 minutes, I am inviting all of you to try this with me. We're going to spend 5 minutes remembering who God is And in just a moment, Zach is going to throw a slide on that'll cycle through and it'll pop up different names of God. And as you see those names, I invite you to just put each of those in that sentence. My God, you are good. My Father, you are good. And just over and over, see what comes out of that. There are probably some names that you've used before and probably some that you haven't. So just take a moment and breathe slowly, relax. If you want to close your eyes, you can. And whatever, start with whatever name you use for God. And let him know that you see him and that he is good. And then as the names begin on the screen, you can add them in. What a mighty God we serve. For this next part, you had a bag of soil on your seat as you came in, so I invite you to take that out. If you didn't get one, there's probably one near you. Go ahead and open it. Stick your hand in. If you're new this morning, we do not normally do this. Some time and feel the soil. Maybe rub some between your fingers while you listen to these next words of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. And the man became a living person. You are made of earth and the breath of the living God. Take a moment to ponder that and thank God for giving you life. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Think about your day so far. Think about the garden that God has placed you in today. Who and what do you have to be thankful for? God, all we have is a gift from you. Help us remember and believe that you are the creator of every good and perfect gift. At this point in the story, the serpent enters, and he brings confusion and doubt and lies that are so subtle that they masquerade as the truth. This is what it says. The woman was convinced by the serpent's lies. She saw that the tree that would bring death was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Think again about your day so far. Or if that's too challenging, think about yesterday. Go through it in your mind, moment by moment. Reflect on the opportunities and the challenges you faced. How did you respond to them? For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Where is your vision skewed? Where do you need our Lord's salvation? Today, allow yourself to experience sorrow for your sins and failings and express that to God and ask for forgiveness. If necessary, make a plan to apologize to a person you wronged and ask their forgiveness. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. At this time, I'm going to start passing some wipes around the aisles. Take one, pass it on. And as you begin to wipe your hands clean, receive God's forgiveness and welcome. Scripture says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of this grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Begin now to think about the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of God's Spirit, that you want to pick up in the place of the death and decay that you're leaving behind. Think ahead to the rest of the day. What challenges do you anticipate you'll have to face? What opportunities will you have to serve God and love others? Pray that you'll be aware of God's presence. Father, we ask that in your grace you allow our reflections this morning to grow into boldness this afternoon, that we may love you and love our neighbor as you've desired. We're going to wrap our time of prayer together this morning by taking communion together. Communion is a time where we pause to remember Christ. We remember his life, we remember his death, and we remember his resurrection. We've got elements of bread and juice that we're going to be passing around today. And if you're ready to remember Christ and to accept the new life that God offers through him, then you're welcome to partake with us. If that's not where you're at today, that's okay. Just go ahead and pass them to the next person. And when we receive the bread and the juice, we'll hold on to them so we can take them all together. So I've got a couple people that are going to help pass those out to you. Today's bread is pretzels, and there is a reason for that. I read yesterday that, I don't know if this is true, but there's a legend that the pretzel was used in Christianity a lot back in the day, and that it used to be a prayer posture, like that they would kind of, I guess, sit like this when they prayed. And so I like tried that out yesterday and was like, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. But then I started thinking about, what else the symbolism from the pretzel, like just that, like this reminds me that God is hugging me. I am enfolded in his arms. And the pretzel, you can't really tell necessarily where's the beginning and the end. It's all meshed together. And that's God's spirit within us, meshed in us. So this morning, as we receive the bread of pretzels, may we remember that God is in us and with us. These are the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about the last night of Jesus' life on earth. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And as the psalmist says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." Thank you, Father.